The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 15:57. And with that wonderful verse, giving thanks to God, we welcome you to this edition of Exploring the Word. My name is Alex McFarland. With me here in the studios of AFR is Bert Harper. And I want to say this is a pre-recorded show. We're not here in person. So if you're listening to this, we're traveling.
Or it's Thanksgiving.
I know, with family. And,
yeah.
And this show will probably air either on or very, very near Thanksgiving. And we want to say how thankful we are for each and every one of you.
We are. Thanksgiving is a great day. I'm a Christmas. I mean, I love Christmas.
Oh.
I celebrate it all year long. And but my next favorite, and I love 4th of July or Independence Day, but I really do love Thanksgiving.
I do too.
It has a lot of great memories for me as a child. It has great memories as an adult. And of all the things that we're to do as a believer, we're to be thankful.
We are.
And I've said this on the radio program many, many times and in the pulpits. I've never met someone who was walking with God that was not thankful.
Yeah.
It is just part of our DNA. If you're spirit-filled, you're thankful.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what circumstances you might find yourself in, you're thankful that God would save you. And I'm going to quote somebody I quote quite often, Bill Stafford, an evangelist out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. He said, "When will we realize that everything above hell is grace?"
For that,
we are thankful.
Exactly. And, you know, it's been said that gratitude is the parent of all other virtues. Being grateful to God for life. I mean, you know, think about it. The good Lord created us, gave us life. There didn't have to be an Alex McFarland. Many days, I think, Lord, thank you for creating me. And we do have a lot to be thankful for. We want to encourage you to cultivate a thankful heart. And today on the program, what we're going to do in the spirit of Thanksgiving, we're going to talk about some things to be grateful for this Thanksgiving, and specifically things related to our country, America.
I think this will be more of a reminder than new stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And really, that's what Paul would write. Paul would write sometimes saying, "I'm writing to remind you, to put in your thoughts." Good preaching, if you get one new thought from a message, that is great, but you probably should get many reminders. So today's many reminders of what to be thankful for.
Well, exactly. I know most people probably know kind of the history behind the first Thanksgiving. 102 passengers came on the Mayflower. They had been at sea for nearly a year. And in 1621, December 13th, 1621, the pilgrims had begun a three-day feast to thank God and celebrate with the friendly Indians. Even though they had come here and they, in 1620, they landed, but by spring, half the pilgrims had died. The rigors of carving out a life in the wilderness and the harsh, harsh winter. And so half the pilgrims had died, but, you know, when they signed that Mayflower Compact, December 11 of 1620, and the Mayflower Compact, by the way, influenced all other government documents.
Self-government.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing when you think about it.
A big part of the, you know, John Winthrop and the Pilgrims was personal responsibility. But they said in the Mayflower Compact their purpose, quote, "for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith,"
end of quote.
And so here we are. Let me just put a few thoughts out here as we talk about 10 things to be grateful for this Thanksgiving. Jonathan Edwards, who's kind of a hero to me, and I guess any preacher, any evangelical preacher, at one time or another is going to turn his eyes toward the life of Jonathan Edwards.
You have to, not just his preaching, but his life, his influence, his writings. One of the greatest theologians. He's still listed as one of the greatest minds that America has ever produced.
Exactly. And he lived in the 1700s. But he said this, quote, "When England grew corrupt, God brought over a number of pious persons and planted them in New England. This land was planted with a noble vine." He was talking about the Christian DNA. I mean, really, pious people. And that's why many people from John Winthrop 400 years ago to Ronald Reagan 30 years ago called us a city on a hill. 1630, the Massachusetts Bay Colony, which was really the precursor to our concept of a state. You know, we have 50 states. John Winthrop, who was a minister, talked about the birth of America. They knew it was significant. He said, "We must consider that we're a city on a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us." Look, they understood that what we're going to try to do, we're going to build a nation on Christian principles, and the rest of the world was watching. The Enlightenment philosophers of France scoffed at the idea. And let me just say, if you come out bold for Jesus Christ and you're going to live your life in a godly way, there are going to be people on the sidelines waiting for you to mess up and fall.
You know, this liberty and freedom without God is really suicide. Okay, driving down the road, I give this illustration. Driving down the road, no speed limit and no brakes, is that real freedom?
In other words, we're just about to crash.
Exactly. That's the whole idea. No speed limit, no brakes. You know, it's going to end. So this freedom we have comes with responsibilities, and we're thankful for those. And how our founding fathers, when you look at the Old Testament and see how the nation of Israel was founded, with some of their able to put into their documents that God put there to govern themselves, with God being the king. He was the king, and we were to obey him. And they brought that forward through thought and put it in our Declaration of Independence, and even the restraints and the freedoms in the Constitution that balance one another.
Yes.
And it came,
it came
from their background as Christians, Alex. And so we've tried to take that away. And when you take it away, you take away the very DNA of what America was founded upon.
Well, really, and you know, the founding fathers were not only philosophers, political thinkers; they were all theologians. They knew, they really knew. And when it was said that the eyes of the world are upon us to see if we could succeed, as Abraham Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address, that you know, to see if government by the people and of the people and for the people would not perish from this earth. Here's the thing. That they were meshing with the principles of good civil government, the principles of the Bible. That's why Roger Williams, the very famous Baptist preacher hundreds of years ago, listen to this. He said in The Creation of America, the wall of separation between the garden of the church and the Egypt of the world, God hath forever broken down. Now, the phrase wall of separation, separation of church and state, has become a billy club by the secularist to try to imply that, look, you keep God out of politics. No, Roger Williams, when he used that phrase, he was saying, look, the wall of separation in America has been broken down, and the garden of the church touches the Egypt of the world, such that we were a godly, moral people. Now, in America, you can believe whatever you want to believe. We hope you'll be a Christian, but if you're not, you're free to reject that. But what we can't allow is the abolition of morality. And morality and religion are two different things. We understand the government is not going to establish a state church. But, Bert, where it's gone in the 21st century is— And listen, I'm at colleges. I hear these educated fools all the time, these PhDs, that believe we should abolish morality. Well, my friend, that is the recipe for chaos.
It is. That's not freedom.
That's not freedom.
It's not.
It's bondage. So give some. We're going to give some things that we believe, and we're our own hearts reflect this. To God Himself, we are to be thankful for these things. And at this Thanksgiving, number one, be thankful you live in America. I've been to developing nations. I've been to other countries where there is no infrastructure. There aren't roads. There's not plumbing. There's not water. I've been to places where fuel for the car, if you even own a car, is prohibitively expensive. In America, we've got bridges and roads and highway departments that can eventually fix the potholes. We can dial 911 if we have an emergency. We've got infrastructure. We've got affordable gasoline. We've got clean water.
What a blessing that is.
Oh, my word.
That is one of the biggest issues of ministries that we've worked with here at AFR in providing clean water. We've done that because you provide clean water for a community, like in missions, Africa or Asia, you know, or any country, and it becomes a place of gathering. And many ministries here, Christian ministries, they provide clean water in these unreached people areas,
yeah.
And it is a ministry beyond measure. And we have clean water flowing into our homes.
Exactly.
What a blessing it is. It is a blessing beyond measure.
You know, a huge percentage of the world every day, a huge percentage, more than 50% of the world, doesn't have a clean, private place to go to the bathroom every day. Hmm. I mean, we're really blessed. Hey, I was in Johannesburg, South Africa. Johannesburg is a big, big city. I mean, I've been to many of the remote parts of Africa, but Johannesburg is like New York City. However, we went in a restaurant. We were with a mission group, and we're talking about some things to be thankful for in America. And every day, most people in the USA have chicken, beef, or fish. You have some meat. So we're in this restaurant, and on the menu was meat. And I asked the guy, I said, what kind of meat? You know, before I order, quote unquote, meat, what are we talking about here?
Let's not go any further than that.
And he said, well, I don't know what it is today. And I said, well, are we talking beef? He said, I don't know. He said, it's meat. I just know it's meat. And I said, no thanks. Now, here's the deal.
You became a vegan
for that day. I did. Let me tell you. But one of the things to be thankful for, we have readily available and safe food to eat. Meat. Do you know there are people around the world that eating some beef is maybe a once a year treat? Isn't that something?
I'm very familiar with a group there in Uganda, and they get meat maybe once a year at the orphanages there.
Isn't that something?
And it is a treat.
And on this Thanksgiving Day, you're very likely going to be able to sit down to a table of bounty. Praise God. We're happy for that.
And those that are not, there's people usually out there early in the morning at the kitchens providing those for those that can't afford it themselves.
For affordable food and indoor plumbing and so much more here in America, we're grateful. On this Thanksgiving, Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, and our families to yours, happy Thanksgiving. God bless you. Stay tuned. We're going to come back and talk about more things for which to be grateful at this time.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword. Or email word@afr.net.
Word is alive, and the word and its glories will fade. But its truth, it will not pass away. It remains yesterday and forever the same. Word is alive.
We are wishing you a great and happy Thanksgiving. And we appreciate you listening today. If you're in your car or if you're in your home, We may even have truckers that are, man, they're not able to take Thanksgiving off, and they're making their trek across the country. We appreciate you listening, and we're going over 10 things that we're to be grateful for, and we're zeroing in on America. Now, I want to share with you, many of these are specific to America, but many of them are universal. And but we're zeroing in on America because in this age in which we live, there seems to be this misinformation concerning America and its founding and what made it great. So we're trying to take this time to do two things, be biblical and be thankful, but also bring it down to specifics why we need to do that as citizens of the country in which we live. So, Alex, we've gone over, be thankful you live in America. Now, that's an overarching thankfulness.
Exactly.
But then let's zero in a little bit.
Yeah, well, be thankful you live in a country founded on Christianity. Isn't that something? A lot of our founding fathers talked about the fact that we are controlled by God. I mean, now we have government and there's got to be order. But Robert Winthrop, he was one of the founders and a speaker of the House. He said, men, in a word, must be controlled either by a power within or a power without, either by the word of God or by the strong arm of man, either by the Bible or by the bayonet. Be thankful that you have the opportunity, friend, to control yourself. We don't have to sit in chains of bondage. Now, we're getting there unless we return to God, but we were founded on Christian principles. That's why so many of the founders that we quote and leaders up through the present day, I mean, Harry Truman, Chief Justice Earl Warren of the Supreme Court, Ronald Reagan talked about the fact that we were founded on Christianity. Now, Bert, I meet a lot of 20-somethings and younger that they don't like the idea of having to answer to God. You know, I don't need God telling me what to do with my life. Let me say this. The freest you'll ever be, the most liberty, freedom, joy, prosperity, just peace of mind, the freest you will ever be is when, like Paul, you become a bond slave of Jesus.
It's freedom to be able to say no to sin.
Amen.
That is real freedom. And I make, yes, God has made, according to 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, all things are lawful, but not all things edify, not all things are good, not all things are evangelistic, not all things bring glory to God. So as believers, we want to concentrate on those things that would bring glory to the Lord. And the freedom to say no to the drives, the immoral thoughts that you have, that's real freedom.
Exactly, exactly. Be grateful, number three. Be thankful you live in a country where problems can be addressed with peaceful elections, not violent revolutions. Let me talk about this a little bit. This is Thanksgiving, but I want to tell you, nowadays people, they take to social media and they reach a state of high indignation over everything from, you know, their favorite movie wasn't nominated for an Academy Award to somebody's been, you know, body shamed or something like that. And we stay in a dander these days. But thank God we're not like a banana republic. That's a phrase that came out kind of in the 80s, talking about countries like Honduras and Botswana and Guatemala, Bangladesh. All right, there are countries around this world where the citizenry, the people, continually live in a state of fear and danger. Leaders are elected and never serve a day in office because they get assassinated.
And the preaching of the gospel under those conditions are difficult at best.
Yes.
And part of the freedom that we have is the missional. When I look at that, the peaceful elections and nonviolent revolutions, I connect that also with the freedom of preaching the gospel, the freedom of mission work. And many of the countries that missionaries go into, they have to go in undercover.
They do.
Because of the kind of government that they have that would cause a revolution. They go in knowing they could be recalled at any time because of an upheaval in that kind of government.
Bert, it really grieves me that a lot of people today, even young people, and I want to say even some Christian young people, they don't understand how blessed, how fortunate we are to live in the United States of America. Let me just talk for a minute, and this is Exploring the Word, a Bible show, and we begin with 1 Corinthians 15:57 that says, "Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God." But when I was in college, you begin to hear the phrase, a banana republic, and that means an unstable country. The first country ever referred to as a banana republic was Honduras, and it was known for high crime rate, low education, just kind of cultural chaos. And in Honduras, you know, leaders would come and they would go and they'd have a sham election and people would buy offices. And then other countries, and it's fascinating how in so many countries, because of money and power, one industry will sort of dominate. In Guatemala, there were these plantations where they would grow vegetables and things like that. And the plantation owners became kind of the mafia that owned the country. In Botswana, it was diamonds. In Botswana, South Africa, the diamond industry got very corrupt and owned kind of the future of politics. In Laos, it's lumber and timber. In Nigeria, it's oil. In Zambia, it's copper. Of all things, in Cuba, there's a lot of crime. A lot of people don't understand this, but around sugar, the sugar industry. And basically, if you're not one of those sugar magnates, you will not really have a lot of power. Be thankful in America. Look, if you want to change the country, well, you can get behind good candidates. You can vote. You yourself can run for office. You don't have to be part of the dynastic family or a part of any caste. Hey, you know, Mr. Smith goes to Washington. I mean, you can.
You need to watch that movie.
Yeah, for real.
Well, it's nearly like a feudal system.
Yeah.
In other words,
in other countries,
yes. Whatever the industry is or the product is, that feeds, and everything else is feeding that industry, just like in the feudal system when you had the lord and then you had all these castes and all these others that were peons that they had to work for that lord, and they worked for that. And yeah, praise in America, we don't have that one particular thing.
Well,
That's kind of my privilege.
Back in a couple months ago, I wrote an article for the Billy Graham magazine, Decision Magazine. In Western North Carolina, in a town of Elkin, they were upset what was going on in some of the public school classrooms as far as sex education. So a bunch of Christian moms got together, and the first thing they did was pray, and they began to run for the school board. And in a number of Western North Carolina towns, the school board, the makeup of the school board, and thus the control of the curriculum, has tipped because all these Christian moms are running for school board and winning.
Makes me think of Grizzly Bears with lipstick.
Oh, yeah, Mama Grizzly. Well, be thankful you live in a country where, look, we do have problems, but peacefully, rationally, Amen. We can address the problems. Number four, be thankful you live in a nation right now of nearly 350,000 churches. Isn't that something?
Amen.
And praise God, we hope you're a part of a church. If you're a Christian, be a part of a church, and not just a spectator, but a participant, you know?
Yeah.
And I thank God. Now, we need a revival, and there's a whole lot of parts of our nation that are severely under-churched. There's unchurched and there's underchurched. But Thomas Paine, who was a leader in early America, but Thomas Paine wrote a pamphlet on the, quote, the idea that law is king. He said it wasn't. Now, thank goodness for good laws. But Thomas Paine said, some ask, where is the king in America? I tell you, friend, he reigns above. Now, what did he mean by that?
Is he talking about the Lord himself?
He's talking about the Lord.
That sounds like they got the idea from Israel.
I know.
You know, going back to the Old Testament and seeing the connection of the founding fathers with the Word of God.
Yeah.
I think you made a statement about communities or cities underchurched. Many of them are inner city.
Yeah.
And you and I are both Southern Baptists, and we're connected with what is called the North American Mission Board.
That's correct.
The last 10 years, they identified cities throughout America and in Canada where the church in the inner city was severely, severely lacking. And they used Acts 1:8 as a model. You remember what it says in Acts 1:8? Start in Jerusalem. Now, most of the time we think and interpret that start where you live. But a few people came up with the idea, starts with a city and go out.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of folks, they've gone to the suburbs, have gone to the country, which is great. They need it. But our inner cities are desperate for the gospel.
And yes.
So churches, planting churches, I'd say that would not be a bad place to plant a church, Alex.
Well, and let me say two things to that point. God might be calling you to full-time ministry. I meet a lot of people. In fact, I've helped in the education and the ordination of a lot of people who go into full-time Christian work as almost a second career. And, friend, do not rule out anything. What if you worked your career and you and your family have been successful, but what if you did this? And I know this is sacrificial, but you go to Hammond, Indiana, or you go to Dearborn, Michigan, or you go up to the Northwest, to Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, and you go to these under-churched areas, go to the dead Northeast. It's not completely dead, but there's a lot up there in New England where they really have not had the gospel in 100 years. Would you go be a church planter? And Bert, I've told this story, but I helped in the ordination of a man that was 74 years old. 74 going into full-time Amen. Christian ministry.
Amen. Alex, one of the programs that I do, you do one on Sunday afternoon, I do one on Sunday afternoon called Exploring Missions, and we interviewed this couple from Northeast Mississippi who retired and then went to the mission field.
Praise God.
And they said, it's cheaper this way. We don't have, our insurance basically is covered. Our home, we've already lived in it. They sold their home, went over there, invested. They have a monthly income, and that monthly income that they draw here in America might stretch them. But over there, it's plenty, and they're making a difference. And they said, man, we're in good health. We know we've got 10 to 12 to 15 years that we can give to the Lord because of what's happening. I was thinking this would be a good paradigm.
Yeah.
Most of the time we think, okay, here's a 30-year-old couple, and they've got four kids. Send them to the mission field. Well, I'm not denying that would not be good, but look at the effect it has, the difficulty it has, the finances that it has. But a couple, 62 years old, and they sell their house, and they go, their overhead is a lot less. So I'm saying what you just suggested about that 74-year-old man and the 62-year-old couple, we could change the paradigm
exactly.
of missions, couldn't we?
And be willing to go. I mean, there's so many parts of America that really, really, really need Christians, church Amen. Planters. Be thankful that you live in a country of nearly 350,000 churches, but ask yourself this Thanksgiving. And I want to encourage you, if you sit down to a Thanksgiving table full of great bounty, praise the Lord, the turkey, the trimmings, but get on your knees and say, Lord, what is my next assignment? I was in a conference, Bert, back in the late 90s where Billy Graham spoke to us via video. It changed my life. And Dr. Graham was literally at the Mayo Clinic in a bed. He had had an episode with fluid on his brain. He spoke via video from a hospital bed. Billy Graham said to us preachers, go home, get on your knees, say, God, what is my next assignment? And I think at Thanksgiving, that might be something that we do.
Amen.
Number five, be thankful you live in a nation prosperous enough that we can all give charitably. All right, I just read this stat that giving, philanthropic giving. Now, if you're a Christian, you're a tither to your church. You give your 10% to your church, and then you give offerings over and above the tithe. Really, for the Christian, the tithe is just the starting point. Be thankful that we live in a nation where giving by individuals averages nearly, now think about this, nearly $300 billion a year are given just by individuals. We live in the most philanthropic country in the world. How can we do that? Not only because we're prosperous, but because I believe it's in the American psyche to be generous. Because, do you remember, the Bible says, whoever gives to the poor lends to the Lord. 1 John says, when you see your brother in need and you shut up your bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in you? The answer is, if you want to demonstrate the love of God, be generous.
Amen.
And we are a generous people.
I had a person that I was interviewing, and we were talking about America and all the things that's wrong with America, and there are many. And he made the comment, the reason he believes America is still strong and America is still blessing America is because we're still the major mission sender in all the world. And God's message of the gospel is important above everything else, Alex. It's the freedom we have here, the freedom to share the gospel. The gospel will thrive anywhere, anytime, but under freedom, we're able to share it with others.
Oh, boy. This is Thanksgiving from the American Family Association. We thank God for each of you, and we thank God for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. American Family Radio. American Family Radio.
Let the power of your words dwell here richly, changing the ways that I see. Fill me with otherly wisdom. Plant me deep like a tree by the stream.
You know, just this week at the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center, there was a conference to honor peace officers, first responders, policemen, soldiers, security people. And one of the things for which to be thankful here in America is that we live in a nation that enjoys great national security. Now, Bert, just a couple of weeks ago was that unspeakable tragedy in Las Vegas where the shooter took out 58 people, wounded 515. And people say, well, wait a minute, we're not a very safe place. All right, on the individual level, there has been violence because, I would say, our abandonment of God and morality. Kids are taught in school that you know, there's no right or wrong, and if you dare post the Ten Commandments, the American humanist and the American atheist and the ACLU will sue, and judges that don't know who God is will quickly roll over and play dead. So I will grant you, on the personal level, we need to restore order, and that comes through recognition of morality. But on the national level, we have the world's greatest military, and locally, and God bless each and every one of you, we have policemen, men and women, peace officers, first responders, we have paramedics, we have cops on the beat who, for very low salary, stare down the barrel of a gun, and they keep peace and order. I'm thankful we live in a nation that really does, more than any other country, we enjoy national security.
And when they are called upon 911, they don't ask, are you a Baptist or if you're a Muslim? Mm-hmm. They don't ask if you're black or white or Asian. They don't ask those questions. They come and they respond.
Yeah.
And when they get there, they do it and they do their jobs. Is there bad apples in everything? I've never seen any profession, including pastoring, where there's some that come along that do a bad job, don't do what they should, lose sight of what their purpose is. But what an opportunity. Emergency trained paramedics, those firemen that rush into a fire to save lives, those policemen. Alex, I want to second what you said.
Amen.
I thank God for those men and women. And I've had the privilege of being a pastor for many
yes.
of those in my life. And I tell them all the time, I appreciate what you do.
Amen.
So if you're at a restaurant and you see a police officer, if you see a fireman or a EMT, or if you see a military, go over there and say thank you for your service.
I do. You know, everywhere Angie and I go, and we'll see a policeman or a policewoman, or I always try to go and I'll say, hey, I appreciate what you do. And a time or two I've seen their eyes get a little teary and they'll say, thank you. And there's a lot of Christians that are in law enforcement. Thank God we live in a secure nation. Number seven, thank God and really be grateful that you live in a nation that allows the unrestricted broadcasting of Christian content.
Are you talking about what we're doing right now?
A little bit. we go to a thing every year called NRB, the National Religious Broadcasting Convention. And there, I mean, you'll see everybody from Charles Stanley to Tim Wildman. Because, you know, we get together and we talk about radio and everything. And it's my privilege to be a part of AFR. And for about 10 years, it's been my privilege to be on the board of the Billy Graham, the radio stations and the broadcasting that they do. They do TV and radio. Here's the thing, and I've heard this stat over and over. Guess how many Americans at least some point during the week, and this is all ages from adolescent, teenager, 20-something, young adult, seniors, in other words, the whole lot of us, guess how many Americans at some point during the week listen to what we call terrestrial radio.
And I have no idea.
Now, everybody,
I can't wait to hear.
You hear stuff online, and there's, you know, there's online podcasting and YouTube and whatnot. But terrestrial radio is the old. It's been here since the days of Marconi, okay. A radio station and a tower.
Not quite as much static now.
Yeah, and the static is largely gone. But it's over 90%.
Mm.
Over 90% of American citizens hear the radio during the week. Now, you can own a radio station or support a Christian radio station. I am thankful for all of our failures and foibles. We still live in a country where you can proclaim the gospel.
And I just got to throw in, praise the Lord for those that help AFR stay on the line during Share-a-thon.
Yes.
When we're recording this, it's the week after Share-a-thon, and we get to hear from people all over the United States that are truck drivers, that are law enforcement officers, farmers, factory workers, teachers, you know, whatever. And they call in people who are retired, and they say, we can't send much, but we're sending what we can. Others who God has given just a bounty, they call in and they'll say, man, we want to give this, but we want to challenge people to match our $25,000 gift. And so every gift is so important.
Well,
and here's this $5 gift that becomes magnified and multiplied because of others. And that is the privilege of broadcasting. And we take that serious here at AFR.
We really do. I know a lot of people remember that old song, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. It says, give the winds a mighty voice. Let the nations now rejoice. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills, deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. I'm thankful we live in a country where we can still broadcast the gospel. I'm thankful we live in a country that we have amenities that other eras of people would have fainted over.
Now, before you start this, the outline we have, some of those outlines would take up maybe a fifth of the page, and others would take up just a little bit more. But number eight, the amenities that people have here, it is a page, close to a page and a half.
I was just started
praying, didn't you, and being thankful for all these? This is amazing.
Well, think about this. In America, and at Thanksgiving, be grateful. And mom and dad, and I do a lot of parenting seminars, cultivate an appreciative spirit in your children.
Amen.
All right. In America, we've got running water. We got hot water. We got electricity.
Go on a mission trip, and maybe you'll get hot water after your trip is over, and you're checking in about to check into the airport, and you have to stay in a motel close to the airport, and you might get warm water in these third world countries.
Or they shut down the electricity at 5 o'clock.
Yep, I do.
Oh, you got grocery stores stocked with food. You got corner stores open. You know, hey, if you need a box of Band-Aids at 11:30 at night, you can probably within a 10-minute drive get it. You've got toilet paper. I'm not trying to be, off color, but thank God you got all the toilet paper you want in the USA. You've got functioning roads and sidewalks and drugstores and hygiene products and the freedom to choose. You can if you're hungry, you got 51 different choices.
So the husband can ask the wife, where do you want to go tonight?
Exactly.
And the wife will say it doesn't matter, but it really does.
I know.
But they have more than one choice.
Exactly.
Amen.
And the discretionary money, most people can pick where they want to eat. Three meals a day, a shower, a roof that doesn't leak, a bed to sleep on, a cell phone. I mean, these are luxuries that we think are necessities, a job. But, you know, one of the great blessings of America are what the poets called, quote, the wide open spaces. Now, I've been to some of the major cities of the world where people, you know, or it's as thick as hops. It's a little claustrophobic for me. That's one of the reasons that I love Texas. I love, you know, the rural areas. In America, you got elbow room. Am I right?
You do.
If you want it.
And one of the things you said, a room or a space to call your own, I'm reminded of a story where this lady from Africa flew in. She is from one of the difficult countries there in Africa, and this lady picked her up to take her to her house. She picked her up in a car. She knew what a car was. She knew all that. They pull in to the driveway, and they stop, and they get her one suitcase out and take it in. And the lady shows her around the house, where the kitchen is, the bedroom, the living room, the bathroom. And she notices this big area off to the right where she has not seen. And she said, well, what's that room there? And she said, oh, that's a garage. That's where we keep our car. And the lady from Africa said, oh, a house for a car?
Isn't that something?
Does that put it in perspective? House for a car?
Isn't that something that we've got a house? Hey, one of the fastest growing businesses are storage units. We got so much stuff, we got to hire out buildings to put it in.
That's a whole different service. A service for stuff.
And listen to this. Be thankful in America that you have a backyard that isn't filled with predators and safari animals. Okay, one of my trips to Africa, we were in a village and we were talking to some of the ministers and they said, we got to wait. We can't have the preaching service because we're going to have a funeral today. I said, I'm sorry. Did somebody die? They said, no, but they're going to. This guy was bitten by a snake and he'll die. And I said, well, could we not get him to a doctor? He said, well, that would take 2 days and he'll be dead in 2 hours. So before we preach, I've got a funeral that I will be doing. All right, now think about this. First of all, generally in most American neighborhoods, you're not watching out for deadly spiders, snakes, and four-footed beasts. Now, they're out there if you go looking for them. But they're much of the world, they are predators and deadly animals, and there aren't the doctors and the med doc in a box to go to.
That brings up your next thing on your list.
We got hospitals to go to in an emergency. We've got garbage trucks. Every human creates waste, and in America, it gets taken away without, you know, us having to get our hands dirty. Hey, and on behalf of wives everywhere, I want to ask forgiveness. But we've got amenities. We've got televised sporting events.
Fewer men are watching them this year, though.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
of those that are, in my opinion, disrespecting the national anthem and the flag. And they're either sitting, not coming out, or taking a knee. And I'm one of those that said no NFL this year. I'm
Amen.
One of those 17, I think it's 17% less
well,
men are
God.
Watching it this year.
This is the Lord's way of getting us all to watch baseball again.
Amen.
And by the time you hear this, the Dodgers will have beaten the Astros.
You really
in
the think
world.
So?
Well, I hope so.
Okay.
But at any rate.
I'm a National League guy. I'm not sure I'm for the Dodgers. They beat my Cubbies. So anyway,
man.
We'll see.
But at any rate, we have wholesome entertainment, if you want. We've got public schools and Christian schools and private schools. And I hope that—
Homeschools.
Homeschools. Hallelujah. We've got so many amenities. One last—
I say homeschools, I'm going to drop in. We've got the help for those that are having homeschoolers.
Exactly.
It's amazing. There's all these co-ops they're doing. They'll meet once a week, and the parents come together, and, and they share. It is amazing ministry. The homeschool, especially the Christian homeschool movement in America, I believe they're raising some champions for Christ.
That they really are. They really are. When I was in Zambia, my first trip, and I've told this story, but a man asked me, we were deep in the bush country, we'd been on foot, man asked me if I had ever ridden in an automobile. And I was very convicted to think, ridden in one, I've got three at home, you know? All right, the final thing, we've talked a lot about things for which to be grateful. This country, Christianity, freedom, all these things, prosperity. All right, but the final thing I would say, be thankful you live in a nation which has as the backbone, it was and it really still is, the family.
Amen.
And I want to say this, if your family status is not exactly what you would wish it was or what it ought to be a champion for family. Maybe you don't have your mom and dad. Seek out a daddy. And thank God in the church, there's a lot of older people that are so willing to be the friend and the kind of older brother and the mentor. And Bert, I meet a lot of young guys, and they didn't have a dad that they could look up to or maybe even knew. Find a person to be accountable to, somebody to invest in you and you in them. Be a champion for family. As much as I love the church, and we need revival, and thank God for that, but I want to say, if I could ask God for one thing, I would say, dear Lord, restore the American family.
One of the most amazing times in America has the movement West. Go West, young men, go West.
Horace Greeley.
And a lot of the people were Christians. They would leave their community. They'd take their wife. The man would take his wife and his children sometimes. And they would go out west. They'd go to Kansas, Nebraska, even further west. And they'd get out there and they'd settle. And Alex, there wasn't a church. There wasn't a church. There wasn't neighbors within 10 or 15 miles. Guess what they would do? They would still worship the Lord because they had the family there.
Yeah.
And they would worship on the Sunday. They would come together and they would worship. Some of them would even designate a bench for them to go out and just to look at God's creation. But you worship God and praise God for the family. And I think the Jewish people are illustrative of that. That if you ever watch Fiddler on the Roof and how they came together on the Sabbath day and they would gather, it was the family. And it's always been that way since Adam and Eve, and it will not cease till he comes back.
1 Timothy 2:1-4, Paul says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, kings and those in authority. On this Thanksgiving, we say from our heart and our home to yours, Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
May God bless you. Pray for America and be a part of what God is doing to shine the light of the gospel in this country.
Happy Thanksgiving. It's a great day. It's a great day to celebrate what God has given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again and have a great day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.